Here is the way the Hull family remembered their dear Margaret at her passing. With broken hearts, we regret to inform our community of the passing of our beloved Margaret. The world was never the same when you arrived and will never recover from your leaving. We will strive every day to walk your path and continue your vision for a better earth filled with peace and love. Margaret Hull, farmer, sculptress, shepherd, and environmental activist, was born September 13, 1950. 3 minutes after her identical twin sister Lucy, she was the youngest of the four daughters of Robert and Louise Hull. She was born and raised in the Spring House of Spring Hills Farm in Lackawanna County, the same house where she passed away on May 16, 2022. Margaret studied at Keystone College for 2 years and then transferred to Hamilton College, where she studied the history of physics from 1970 to 1973. While writing her thesis, she realized that she preferred trees to theses. Margaret eventually returned to her family's Christmas tree farm and was responsible for making the farm fully organic in 1985 over the objections of all who told her that organic and sustainable tree farming was impossible. She presided over the expansion of the farm into Jacob sheep wool, blueberries, and maple syrup, all produced with an eye to the sustainable protection of the land. She altered the haying schedule in order to accommodate the nesting needs of threatened birds, and in general acted to increase the biodiversity of the land. She loved little more than moving around the farm, checking on the progress of beaver dams, the growth of the trees, and the ever-changing tapestry of the land. In the spring, she could be found tapping maple trees and boiling the syrup. Or in the sheep, she could be pasture caring for each ewe who went into labor. In the summer, she could be found in the fields shearing trees. After Christmas tree season was over, she could take some time between caring for the animals to sit with her friends and work on her sculpture. Whenever possible, Margaret could be found caring for, driving, and riding her beloved team of horses. Margaret began working with metal when she was 16 years old and developed her art over the decades. She started out making jewelry and later began to use welding techniques to create larger pieces that reflected the perception of negative space as well as the flow of air, water, and human bodies in the natural world. Her artwork can be found on Spring Hills Farm, where it inspires artists attending workshops, as well as in the private collections of her family and friends across North America. Margaret was that rare person who was comfortable in silence. Silence, she knew, was the condition for truly listening to others. Margaret's capacity for hearing others was unparalleled, and those she spoke with always came away knowing that they had been heard and included. It may have been only a few days after Margaret's passing that Trinka was inspired. She knows not how, really, inspired to create a portrait of her dear friend and mentor, capturing in a moving way something of Margaret's larger-than-life presence. The portrait was a likeness of Margaret, but it was so much richer and deeper than that. Trinka will tell us that all of her training was brought into play without a conscious thought about it, to capture something intangible, to capture real presence. And in so doing, Trinka's portrait brings to those of us who knew Margaret and those who didn't one of her fundamental gifts to the world, the ability to be present to each person, to each animal, the sheep she tended, for instance, each Christmas tree she prepared to send out in the world to bring a family together at holiday time. And as her family tells us, it largely came down to listening openly in every situation. Listening to the trees, to the horses, to her sisters and to those with her on the Countryside Stewardship Committee as an example. And now Trinca Ravaioli has been entrusted with that very special responsibility of keeping Margaret's vision alive and extending it. She is the executive director of the Spring Hills Foundation. And so now when artist Trinca sits at the pond on the farm, she's not just looking, she's listening, like Margaret did, feeling the presence of that moment, the way the light hits the water, the way the wind stirs the trees, and she's rendering as fully as she can the beauty of that experience, the light and dark of it. And we can experience Trinca's portrait of Margaret and many other images she's created in her conversations in and around Spring Hills Farm in the summer show at Marquee Art and Frame in downtown Wilkes-Barre. She has named the exhibition Iterations of Light and Dark, saying the show connects observation, cycles, process, and our relationship to the land. Iterations is an interesting choice. We think perhaps of Cézanne standing before Mont Saint-Victoire, creating canvas after canvas, rendering the landscape in many iterations to capture what? Certainly not the likeness, but the presence, trying to get ever closer to the essence of Mont Saint-Victoire. So we'll experience the way Trinca creates many iterations of what she senses at a deep level on the farm. Trinca Ravaioli paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about Spring Hills Farm, her art, and iterations, and about listening deeply to the poetry that surrounded her as a child.
That was the early 90s, I want to say, when my mom was president of Mulberry Poets and Writers, and I just love going back and listening to Karen Blomain and David Elliott, Tom Blomain. There's so many.
It's true, but you were immersed in that world of words. How and what were you doing visually while you were surrounded by all those poets?
At that time, well, you know, I just remember going to, I think it was St. Luke's Church in the basement in Scranton. And, you know, I would just go and listen to it and absorb all the words and a lot of it about this area being in the coal region and descriptions of growing up around here. And it's just growing up in this area is just so influential to me, you know, the history of it, the hard work ethic, and just Scranton, it's a real roots town, I feel like. And I'm just really proud of being from here, that my family's from here. And yeah, I mean, it's just a huge influence on me and my artwork. And when I went to Keystone College, where my mom worked for 35 years, and so I went to school there also in the fine arts department, which was, it was a two-year school, Keystone Junior College at the time. And Carl Neurath was the head of the department, and Cliff Prokop and Bill Terstig, and just an amazing foundation I had. And, you know, going out in the landscape around here, the mountains, and drawing nature, and it's just always stayed with me.
You mentioned drawing, and I've had a chance to talk with a number of artists over the years, and some of them, including your former teachers at Keystone, lamented the fact that many of the arts programs in college, university, or right. the academy began de-emphasizing drawing.
Right.
How did you come up through drawing? You want to draw, you continue to draw?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was young when I started, I want to say in middle school, and it was just an outlet for me. And going to Keystone, there was such a strong emphasis on the fundamentals. And I think, like any practice, you have to learn the rules to be able to break them. And it was such a great experience being there and trying all the techniques, the different materials. And geez, at the time, I wish it was a four-year school. I did have to transfer, but I think the basics and fundamentals are so important. But then I think it's also important to find your own voice and be able to break from that in the circumstances that you feel that suit you. You know, I mean, a lot of it, especially now in my show, I feel like I'm trying to refocus on what comes through myself, what's important to me, and what resonates with me. And being in nature, mostly at Spring Hills Farm, where I have a studio in the summertime, it's just surrounded by the beauty of this area. It's truly amazing, and they're so interested in keeping it sustainable, you know, an organic farm, staying true to the land and taking care of it, keeping it and sustaining it for future generations to come.
You have an administrative role there, do you?
Yeah, a year and a half I started as executive director, but our families go back so long. Well, I come back to Keystone, as in so much. My mom worked with Susan Constantine, who's the oldest of the four sisters who take care of the farm. Well, there was Bob and Louise Hull. In 1946, they bought the farm. And then Margaret, the youngest, you know, rest in peace, we love her. She passed in 2022, but there was just a real commitment to preserve this land, not sell it to make any kind of profit. But Margaret put, I want to say, 123 acres into easement, conservation easement, and 115 acres into agricultural easement. So it's just been a commitment for a long time to be dedicated to the land. And well, with the foundation, it started in 2013, but since I've started, it's picked up more recently of trying to bring community programs to the farm. We have United Neighborhood Center camps this summer, and I have an art retreat, a four-day retreat. And so it's just been so rewarding to work there. It's a beautiful place, and I just admire these women. They're amazing.
They're dear. Each one was her own person.
Her own person, yes, and just so... I want to call them mountain women, but they're farmers, you know, they're so focused on the land, so capable, and just amazing people to be around that I just want to soak in everything they know. And being part of the foundation has helped me to do that, you know, how they go about things, the history and the tradition, which is really important to me.
And you don't use, I'm sure, the word magical and beauty casually. There is some sort of sense, is there, I'm asking, of a resonance, a vibration that the trees are alive. It's not just the lambs and the horses that are alive, but...
Right. It's just being there in itself. And I think that's part of what the foundation is working to serve Margaret's vision in bringing community to be in contact with the land. Because, you know, nature is a god in a way, and it's so important to know your place in it, and to bring people to have contact with it is... just so important in this day and age, you know, where especially kids are on their screens, and to just get them out there in the dirt, in the land, to touch it, to feel it, and to see it. And it's more of a subtle vibration, but it's there. And once you're there, you can't help but being overcome with the beauty of it. I mean, just the birds and the trees and the seasons as they come, it's just very cyclical, and just to absorb it through each season, and it's just completely magnetic. It fills my soul, and it's total inspiration for me and for my show that's going on right now at Marquee.
You chose the word iterations, and we'll learn about why, but what will we see when we come to Marquee?
Well, a lot of it, again, is inspired by the farm. And as I said, the cyclical nature of being there and how the seasons change, the light changes, just the constant change that we absorb. And I just have my studio, and I can go out in the morning and sit at the pond and absorb the light. I like to sit on the grass when I draw, and, you know, it grounds me. And just take it all in. And it's just very helpful to relax and to get in the moment, for it to be meditative. And it helps me to start, because sometimes I think as artists, we run into this resistance of getting started, having a blank page in front of us, and the bravery it takes and the fear, because fear comes with bravery, to just come through it and be part of that practice of doing it. And then it gets easier, especially being at a place that you... so resonates. It's just an amazing place. So there's certain scenes, certain places that I go back to on the farm that I just love. I was walking in the forest down by the hemlock trees. Obviously the pond is central, and there's a patch of hemlocks and also pine trees in front of the evergreen house. There's one piece that I did of an empty chair, and I think that's part of being in the dark and the light. My work tends to be focused on the beauty of nature around, but also the darkness comes in also. And as life is, you know, everything that you've lived and come through and the challenges that you've had comes through in your mark. So, and just being there in the process of it, of drawing and making the mark. It's primitive, but I'd say it's 90% of making art is actually doing it, the process of it, and trying to maybe not worry so much about the product and what comes out. And it's helped me get into that becoming of working on the process and being okay with the process instead of having a goal. I have to do this, be here, be there. So again, it's a practice I'm trying to work toward. And that is being in tune with your heart, what inspires you. And, you know, when you get caught up in your head, it tends to get critical and you're overthinking things. And if you could just come back to the farm, come back to the ground and nature, and it just has a settling way about it to bring us back to ourselves as humans and, you know, get out of our juggling head of doing this and having to be there. And it just brings you back to the calmness that I think is our natural state.
Do things come up when you are relaxing into the state of becoming rather than controlling that surprise you, that might be emotions that you don't even know where they come from?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, being in the practice of it, your experiences in your life comes through, and it's just a natural way to be, is just to use your hand to put marks on the paper, and all of your experiences will come out. And sometimes you'll look at what you've done after and be like, where did that come from? Some of my favorite pieces, I'm just, you know, you get in that zone and you're just putting it down, and you get into that place where things are coming through that you're not even aware of. And then you have this product. And I actually did a portrait of Margaret on the farm, and she just meant so much to me. And I actually worked with her shearing Christmas trees one summer, and we spent a lot of time together. And she was just an amazing mentor to me. She was very quiet and soft-spoken, but she had this immense power about her. You know, she had a stillness, but a strength that you could feel. You know, one of those people that doesn't have to talk too much, you know? You can just be with her. And I think it was the month after she died, I just came out. I did this one piece, which is at the show at Marquee, of her laying down, and there's some charcoal trees that I did. And when I finished it, I was like, wow. I don't even know how I did it. Like, there's certain processes you use, but it's just like, it just came, you know, and to trust that that's going to happen.
What has the family said about that portrait?
Oh, they love it. It hangs in the evergreen house on the farm. Yeah, they kept it and they love it. And, you know, I love the family and their goals for the farm. And this technique that I use with most of the work that's in the show, where it's beeswax paper. So you could take a piece of drawing paper or Fabriano or Arches, any kind of paper, and first you seal it with rabbit skin glue. And then you melt beeswax and Gamsol and brush it on the paper. And then you take a scraper and you scrape the wax off. So there's just a thin coating that will accept oils, pencil, charcoals, oil, pastels. And it's really wonderful because it has a subtle texture to it. So it's not like you're starting with a stark white blank piece of paper. You know, it already has some flow, some textures, some feeling to it. And just to take it from there and feel like it's not this precious thing, just something I can go out and play with. And, you know, that's usually when the most amazing things come out, is when you're just, oh, not too much pressure on yourself, just can have that playfulness come through. And most of the pieces in the show are of that wax paper technique, and a lot of crows in my work, which I've been working on recently, which, you know, when people ask me, is it a crow? Is it a raven? And to me, it's partially myself in kind of an observation role. But also, you know, the darkness that I think we absorb, especially in this country right now, you know, it comes through in my work. And I think that's part of nature too, the dark and the light and iterations of it, as in how we as artists soak it up and then it comes through in our work, whether we realize it or not.
What about the sound of the crows? There can be sharp, and,
yes,
and if they are all cackling, it's quite something. Does that affect the crowness?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And all the birds at the farm, you know, I definitely identify with that and their freedom. And it just comes through in the flight patterns that I see and the silhouettes against the sky. It all just comes together. There's another one that I did at the show, and I I used to work more in wood when I went to Keystone College. We had a sculpture class and we did some wood sculptures, and I kind of came back to that for this show because of my studio at the farm. It's outdoors and there's sparrows up in the rafters feeding their babies, you know, and they're so beautiful. I mean, they're just, something about their silhouette got me this past summer. And I did a piece of cut wood, and then, you know, I put some reeds in it of a baby's nest, and then above it is the mother bird swooping down to feed them because Murky has 10-foot ceilings, so I was able to spread out a little. And, you know, I was going to do a painting of it, but I'm like, oh, I'm just going to get back into wood. And, you know, again, it's the farm coming through and the wood and just the materials, loving working with the materials and the smells of it, all of it.
And you mentioned the wax, and the beeswax, of course, has an organic source, and the wood that mm-hmm. you're working with, an organic source. So you are really tied to the farm.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot of it's how I grew up. I mean, I credit my parents a lot with growing up. They were both teachers, and we would take camping trips across country every summer. I mean, we do 2 weeks camping at Lackawanna State Park, and it's just growing up in it, being surrounded by it and feeling a part of it. And it's just always stayed with me. And I think that's my connection to the farm, is just bringing that out, the admiration of nature and the respect for it and the awesome power of it that I think people need to have and recognize more. And that's what we're trying to do. And the foundation is bring people in contact with the land to respect it, absorb it, appreciate it, and understand that you have to care for it.
What happens to your feelings of sadness and probably despair sometimes when you recognize that you are able, you all in that community of the farm are able to do that work of preserving and sustaining the land? But when you look around and see the decisions that are being made on a larger level.
Yeah, absolutely disheartening.
What do you do with those?
I mean, we try and build community. I think that's the most important thing right now. And we're doing that through the foundation, is to try and educate people, bring them in contact with the land and have them immersed in it. You know, I mean, I think that's part of this region. Also, we've grown up under King Coal. I mean, we've had to deal with energy industries taking advantage of the landscape around in this area. And it's coming again with the data centers. And I'm just so proud to see the community rising up, standing up, because, you know, we're hard workers in this area and we've been exploited. And, you know, I think we're recognizing our power. And that gives me hope and comfort, you know, to just see people coming and standing up for their backyard and what's important. It takes a while, but, you know, I think you have to have hope.
When you were, say, at the opening, what kinds of things did you overhear?
Well, you know, a lot of people ask me about the process, the beeswax paper and how that was done. And I have to give all credit to Tim Hawksworth, who showed me how to do that. So that was a lot of it. And, you know, for the mother bird, I had a little bit of a political bent to it, where it's flying down with the red tie hanging out of its mouth, feeding the children. Because it's the most important thing right now, I think, is motherhood. And, you know, that's another thing that I'm inspired at the farm, is the women working together. You know, it's just a different mentality of caring. And when you're a mother, you just understand the time and sweat and blood it takes to care for young. And that's definitely come through in my artwork. And that's important as an artist, is my job to reflect what's going on right now, my part in it, and what I could do to show the importance of women and mothers right now.
Do you still read poetry? Do you still come across it in some way? Or are you?
Always. It's always a part of my life. My mom was a poet. And of course, this time of year always makes me think of, you know, nature's first green is gold, her heart is hue to hold, her early leaves a flower, but only so an hour. So leaf begets to leaf, like Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes down today, nothing gold can stay. It's like everywhere this time of year, that green of the leaves right now just coming out. Beautiful time in this area.
Artist Trinca Ravaioli, who is executive director of the Spring Hills Foundation, she is a graphic designer as well and marketing consultant. She's been speaking with us about Spring Hills Farm, about her artwork, and the current solo show she has titled Iterations of Light and Dark, running now through the summer at Marquee Art and Frame, 122 South Main Street in Wilkes-Barre. For more information, you can check the Spring Hills Foundation website, Spring Hills Foundation website, and also you can find Trinka online, and her name is spelled Trinka, T-R-I-N-K-A, Ravaioli, R-A-V-A-I-O-L-I. The show is Iterations of Light and Dark, running now through the summer at Marquee Art and Frame, 122 South Main Street in Wilkes-Barre.
Mont Saint-Victoire.